I really touched this training. So first, my eyes were opened, and I touched that all the words in the book of Leviticus is concerning Christ. So Christ himself is all the offerings, and he is all the priest, and he is also the place that where the offer is offered. And also, he is the reality of the living, and he is the real feast, and praise the Lord. So what touched me the most actually is concerning he is the Jubilee, and also concerning this eating. So I was touched by the story in the Luke 15 concerning this prodigal who went away from his father and then wasted his life and there, and then later realized and sanctified by the Spirit, and come back to his father and enjoy his father and the riches in the father. But on the other hand, I think there's one person that we may overlooked when reading this story, which is this prodigal's elder brother. So what touched me is this elder brother, who lived probably 20 or 30 years with his father, did not have the constitution of his father's life and nature. So when this prodigal come back, this father loved his son to the utmost, and then he prepared all the good things to this prodigal. But what his elder father think? He think, why are you doing all this for him? He is envy concerning his younger brother, and he is complaining and self-justification about all his work. So this is really a warning to me. So in the footnote, this elder brother signifies the ones in the religions, in the religion. So if we, like the brother warning us, we come to the meetings, we come to the word of God without touching the Lord, and there's no difference between us and this elder brother. We although live in the father's house, but we do not have the constitution, do not permeated and saturated by the Lord's life. So praise the Lord. In the message four concerning this eating, I think in the outline the most appeared word is saturated. So we really need to contact the Lord, believe into the word, and be saturated. I mean, without the constitution, everything is outwardly. So only this constitution is the reality of our living and the result of the true eating of Christ. So praise the Lord. And another thing concerning this fire from the altar. So one striking point touched me is that this fire from the altar actually produces gold, silver, and precious stones. So think about our service. Many times we are not sure about what we are laboring on. We are worrying of the one we are shepherding. I'll say, oh, if this one remaining fruit or not. But actually, if the work is initiated by this fire, we don't have to worry about this at all, because this fire produces gold, silver, and precious stone. So praise the Lord. And the last I want to touch also about this I will not serve matter. So Brother Ron actually gave a very encouraging experience of himself when he was a college age, and the Lord called him for to be a minister, and he said, I will not. And then the Lord called him the other day, he said, I will not. And then for a week, and he said, I will not. Until the day the Lord really touches him and said, yes, I will. So he really encouraged the saints, if you will not right now, it's okay. Be open to the Lord and say, Lord, I will not, but you can change me. You can make me, I will. So praise the Lord. Open to the Lord, receive him, and be constituted by him.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the book of Leviticus to train us how to be a priest. We all need to consecrate ourselves for the priest. You know, here is a train them how to worship and partake of him and live a holy and clean rejoicing life. Why so many saying they come to the Lord's Day meeting and they don't want to train? Because just like a friend can say, I am not, and I cannot, I will not, because it's too hard to train. But this train is a whole life, not once for all, right? We are little bit by little bit. But just like the little children that go to school, they have to, from the administration, school and to hire. Same thing with the God's kingdom. Same thing. We had the from base and to hire. But you know, God need us to a peaceful to serve Him. And here, Second Peter 2:9 say, "For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquiring for a possession, so that you may tell of the virtue of Him and call to the people to from the darkness." Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to consecrate ourselves and to fail. He said to fail, to fail with all this all-inclusive Christ. Amen. To constitute in our being, then we can be the holy chosen and a particular people and a holy people to enjoy with our Lord Jesus, and He enjoy us, and we enjoy Him. We are the garment people.
Amen. In the beginning of the training, the brother just mentioned we are priests, and he gave a very convict the example. Say we as a believer, even we come to the meeting, if we see someone sit around us and we try to help her or help him to open the book, open the Bible, and to someone, maybe some saint, some believer, or we call the brother, sister, they are weak, and we try to encourage her. That's a priest. Amen. We are a chosen people. Amen. We are a real royal priesthood. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I just want to just share some of the enjoyment I have from the training. I just in part one of this of the Leviticus was mostly on the offering, and I feel that the second training it's so much so much a matter of living, right? It is the consecration of the priesthood, and giving of ourselves, the cleansing, the matter of eating, holding the feast, and then the jubilee. So I just have a sense. I just have a feeling that oh Lord, thank you for saving us, that we are priests. Wow. All right, and then we it's a matter of our consecrating ourselves, the willingness, and then the matter of can or cannot. We cannot, but that's not the end. We cannot. There's a matter of the training. That's why we need. We are priests already. We just need to enter in our living, in our holding the feast before the Lord, in our eating, in our daily living. The matter of cleansing. Praise the Lord. This is so much. This is so much us. This is we are here as a priest unto Him to hold a clean and there other stuff, a rejoicing life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's our Sabbath rest.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The whole world is in turmoil, and it just seems to be getting worse, you know. And we have our personal crisis, we have our national crises, and then we have our global crises. And I realized everyone is looking for rest, you know, rest and peace. And I've just been very touched by the Lord lately that He is the rest. There is no rest outside of Him, and there is no peace outside of Him. You know, we have, there's something called the Sabbath year. You know, we're a little bit familiar with the Sabbath, you know, on Saturday, you know, maybe you have Jewish friends and, you know, we're exposed more in New York to this. So one day a week they set aside to rest. But then there was something called the Sabbath year. The whole year you rested. The whole year, you know. And the land rested and the people rested. And I was very touched that this, you know, went every 7 years. And again, that number 7 is completion. So our whole life should be a life of resting in the Lord. enjoying him and resting in the Lord. But I was very touched, like many others. I didn't want to jump to this right away. But the culmination of this is after that happened for seven periods, you know, like 7 years, you know, 7 years rest, 7 years, everyone rests. The land rested, you rested, your family rested, whoever worked for you rested. Nobody worked, right? And then in that four, seven times seven groups of those 7 years, on the 50th year was called something, the Jubilee. That was the final feast, the year of the Jubilee. Now, that's a super rejoicing. And why was that? And that was because some people during their lifetime, especially the children of Israel, you know, they got portions of land that was theirs. But they got impoverished along the way. Maybe they got sick. Maybe they didn't want to work on the land. Whatever, they got in debt. You know, when you get in debt, you start getting into debt, you sell off some things, you sell off that. Before you know it, they sold their portion of their land. But on the 50th year, the Lord declared, everyone's land should be returned to them. And everyone should be allowed to go back to their family. They were free again. This is the Jubilee. I was just so touched by that the Lord is our real Jubilee. We all were lost by sin and by the fall of man. But the Lord has freed us to come back to enjoy him. Come back to our allotted portion of the land. Come back to what rightfully belongs to us. Our Christ to be enjoyed. So we need to enjoy this Lord all the time. We're in the age of grace. This is supposed to be an age of rejoicing. So let us keep the feast. And let's help each other go on and enjoy the Lord together.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is our Jubilee. And Brother Lee mentioned, and let me just start a time, because I don't want to spend too much time, but there's just so much to share. There's not a period of waiting. Used to have to wait, whether years, weeks, doesn't matter. I'll just read it. Now is the acceptable time. He accepts sinners now. We can be wallowing, death is over us, wallowing in our sin. All we have to do is sing or come to the Lord enough till we touch him. And there's an economic, we all have the essential spirit in us. But just like, there's an economical part. Just like Jesus was comforted, he spent an evening watching Gethsemane. Can you see all the, knowing what was going to befall him? An angel came and comforted him. He is our angel. We don't have to wait for evening watch. That's the thing. I was sharing this with somebody. We don't have to wait. Now is the acceptable time. If we're troubled, I don't know how many times at work, I took a 10-minute break watch. We had one of the jobs I had 10 minutes. That was enough to touch the Lord. I got release. Jesus said, I should turn to it, but I don't have it exactly, so I'm paraphrasing. He came to preach a gospel to the poor. We are poor. Amen. Satan is wielding death in our, if we're not touching the Lord, he's killing us all the time. Amen. I don't care if it's fear, worry, shame, all kinds of things. We can get release if we just touch our Jubilee. Our Christ is Jubilee. I'll say this and then I am going to sit down. There's just too much to share. But thank you, sister. Now is the acceptable time. The brother shared, Brother Rob, he said, how do we know we're eating Jesus? We have this picture of Jeremiah. I'll tell you one way, there's so many ways. Yes, he can speak Rima to it. But the main way he does it, not just sing to the Lord till we touch him, actually sing till we touch the economical spirit comes upon us. When that happens, if I can just, and then I think I'll stop this way instead of the other way. Jesus, oh Lord, there's the footnote in Luke where Jesus said, I proclaim the gospel to the poor, and we are poor. It says we're poor in heavenly, spiritual, and divine things. And this is where I'm going to stop. We're poor in heavenly things, that if we just touch our Lord, we have a heavenly atmosphere. Let me describe it with three words. Peace, joy, and love just floods our soul. It doesn't matter what we did. We could have committed the lowest sin. Our God loves us. He paid for us. We're always accepted in his presence if we just come. But we're not worth anything. It's Jesus is all the sacrifice. So when we sing, he's the one. But when he touches us, that's an economical touch. Sometimes we need the spirit. We're weak in spiritual things. We don't know. We don't have we do have the mind of Christ, but we have to touch it first. So when we sing and we get the economical spirit touching us, all of a sudden he can give us a word of wisdom. But so many times, it's when we also read to eat. In that watch, once we've got the touch, it's time to read, to break open his word. And if we read long enough, he'll touch us with something. Then we get a word from him. It's not a choice. We've done Isaiah 1:18, where he says, I'm going to let you turn to it because it took it from my memory. But the divine things, we need life. And God can, in that touch, I don't care what the enemy did to us, life erases all the death and Satan has to flee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now is the well acceptable time. Amen. Now is our jubilee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he has been sent to proclaim the gospel to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and send away and release those who are oppressed. Oh Lord, giving freedom and blessings through the Jubilee. Oh Lord, this year, this is the year of Jubilee. Jubilee is a shouting. We all know that the law of sin and of death is active. We don't have to try to be dead. It's always acting. It's very simple. But we have a greater law. Through the redemption, we have a light switch. We have a switch that we can turn on. This switch is the law of the spirit of life in our spirit. So anytime you're feeling down, anytime you're feeling the weight of sin pressing upon you, we have a shouting, the Jubilee. He has come, he has redeemed us, he paid the price. We don't have to do anything. We just have to turn on the switch. Oh, Lord, give a shout. And then you're automatically lifted out of this weight. The weight is lifted off you, and we're free. We're free. We don't have to be held in this spirit of death. But immediately we can switch it on, and life comes. Praise the Lord, life comes. Amen.
I really enjoyed this training. It was a training, which means in every message there was something, at least one thing, sometimes more than one thing, that touched me, exposed me, and even corrected me. And in particular, one of those points, one of the brothers asked us, when was the last time you really ate Jesus? And I thought, oh. Then the next question is, well, what does it mean to eat Jesus? And to eat means you contact something that is outside of you and you take it in. And then that something that you take in is digested, assimilated, it becomes part of you. And it changes you inwardly. So with that definition, then I thought, wow, Lord Jesus, I confess, many times I come to you, but I didn't actually eat you. Because I didn't take you in and let you change me, right? So our brother covered, again, to eat the Lord Jesus means to contact him in spirit. It means to believe into him. And by believing in the Gospel of John, we receive him. And then to know that this one that we receive is the life-giving spirit. And this life-giving spirit brings to us the crucified and resurrected Christ. By eating the crucified and resurrected Christ, we begin to live a different kind of life. Amen. And another point from this message 4, is also that the one that we are eating is the King. We are eating the King who has the royal ingredients. And the more we are constituted with these royal ingredients, the more we have this ruling element within us. Amen. To make us the kingdom in reality. So often we just want to do our own thing. So how can we become obedient to the king? It's by eating him.
Amen.
And this is an enjoyable eating. Amen. So I'm just enjoyed to be adjusted and reminded and encouraged to eat the Lord Jesus every day,
Amen.
Even multiple times a day. Amen.
I also enjoy the same message about eating. And I really appreciate our brother's example, coming to the Lord in the spirit of a little child, just asking the Lord, how do I eat you? How do I take you in? And I think we all need to do the same. I felt I had a fresh appreciation what it means to eat the Lord. But I was also touched on the second part of this message. It says, the significance of eating and the defeat of death. You know, in Leviticus 11, the whole chapter is telling you what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, and what's clean and what's unclean. And in the midst of eating, there's such a warning to stay away from carcasses. You know, in my natural thinking, you know, how can you put these two things together? Eating is such a matter of life, enjoyment, and nourishment, but yet there's a warning about death. And I actually had a little experience this week. You know, I was really enjoying the training the first few days. I got up early and I really enjoyed the word. But then, you know, as the week goes by, went to work and, you know, in the office, people just talk. And many times just about gossip or just joking around. And, you know, sometimes I just enter in, you know, just speak the same way they do. And as I go by, when I come back the next day, I couldn't eat. I felt I couldn't enter in. And that really shows that, you know, our eating is so related to the matter of death. You know, we shouldn't take death lightly. Even in the chapters that you would not be clean until the evening. That means when you touch something of death, this defilement, even though you can confess right away, but you had to go through a certain period of time until you can be restored to the enjoyment of the Lord. So I just really take this, Lord, I want to eat you every day.
Amen.
Lord, keep me away from the defilement of death.
Amen.
Amen. We can eat the Lord every day. I really appreciated this training because we see that the Old Testament is just a type and a shadow to the New Testament reality, and especially in message 6 where it talks about the expiation. So we see that all the offerings that we see in Leviticus are actually a shadow, a type pointing to the redemption by Christ in the New Testament. And this relates to us as in, so we see that Christ is our propitiation. And we see this in Romans 3:25, which says, whom God set forth as a propitiation placed through faith in his blood for the demonstrating of his righteousness, in that in his forbearance God passed over the sins that had previously occurred. So I don't know, I just appreciate seeing how like the Old Testament is a reality to us in the New Testament. So it's nothing that we can't enter into, and we can experience it through his blood. And one of the points here in the outline, it says, according to God's concept and his divine economy, there is a need of redemption. So there's a need for the blood. And I just appreciate it that God is faithful and God has given us his son's blood in order to cleanse us, in order for us to enter into the experiences and enjoyment of God. And I appreciated that so this goes into like Greek a little bit, which goes over my head sometimes. But so we see the word propitiation. There's three different ways it's used. So there's hilaskomai, hilasmos, and hilasterion. And this, we just see that here, that Christ is everything. Christ is Christ is the propitiation, the action to propitiate. He's also the propitiatory sacrifice, and he's also the place where propitiation is made. So basically, Christ is everything. And I really appreciated that because in the Ark of the place where we meet with God is in the Ark of Testimony, but we experience this by touching him as the throne of grace. So he's the king. So he's, yeah, so this is his throne. This is where we meet God. I don't know, I just really appreciated that there's like so much we can get into, but really in our practice and in our day-to-day life, we can just come to the Lord and ask him for his mercy and his grace.
Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Jehovah in all your dwelling places. So God, when God created the earth, on the last day he had a Sabbath. It was his rest. But this was actually man's first day. So God created man with the intention that man would enjoy God by resting in him. And then the same applies to our redemption. I enjoyed this morning the Lord's table, everyone's prayers and singing all the songs, that the Lord has done all the work, has gone through such a process, and now we have blessed assurance that the Lord is ours. So in our Christian life, all we have to do is apply this principle of the Sabbath, which is to cease our work because God has done everything for us and has become everything for our enjoyment. So our Christian life is not about doing, but it's about everything being done for us. And in this way, when we enjoy the Lord as our rest, we don't have any excuses for not serving God as a priest, but in our resting and enjoying God, we can be priests to the Lord.
Each message is so rich, so profound, and so deep. So I cannot pick up only one of the messages. But to me, it's a whole 12 messages. I see there's only Christ and cross. That's only I could see. Because as we all know, all real offering, reality of offering is Christ, and reality of all feast is Christ. And our jubilee is Christ. You know, our old, what else? It's rest is Christ. Everything is Christ. And also, in order to enjoy the Christ, we need the cross. You know, the brother said, when he mentioned about the leprosy, we have to realize we are the leper. But we need to shave every day, all our hair. You know, that blaze, the shaving the blaze is cross. Since I'm getting old, my hair is getting loose. I brush very carefully, don't lose hair. But I heard it, all our hair, all hair of our being, gotta be shaved. That is a cross. So I see only cross and Christ, all these messages. And Brother Benjamin said, what is genuine Christian? If you think about the letter Christian, if you take out Christ, what left? I-A-N, I am nothing. You know, the Christian, if we take Christ from us, we are nothing. Brother Benjamin mentioned many times, I clearly remember, I am nothing, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing. Actually, we are zero. But even the Christ, we take it out the Christ from us, sometimes we are still something. You know, so we have to remind it, the cross. I don't wanna say to you, I'm just saying myself, how much I apply the cross to me. You know, it depends on the how much we enjoy the Christ or not, depend on how much we bear the cross or not. You know, so also the priest is not only to serve God, worship God, we have to bear the other brother and sister's sin. We have to cover, we have to enlarge the heart. That is a price. Not just a pickup, not just a blame, but we have to cover and bear. You know, this is all messages so rich. I first attended in the live training in my life. I really was in third heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen, saints. I really appreciate the manner of eating that you all shared today. I feel like this manner of eating is so important. As we all eat today, you know, we use eating to survive. You know, our regular foods that we make in the morning or in the evening or afternoon, This matter of eating is what sustains us. It's what gives us life and continues to allow us to grow physically. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when I read that verse, I said, whoa, not on bread alone? And I know we all eat every day. The fact that we're here today is a testimony to that. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God, for me, that was something that really was life-changing. Because I realized, was I eating? I was asking myself a question. Was I eating the word of God daily? Was I growing and being, you know, was I living through this word of God? And since then, I realized that it was so important. Just the same way we eat every single day, it's so important to eat the word and drink the word every day. To turn to the word in the Bible, meeting with our brothers and sisters, fellowshipping, encouraging one another, and just growing together. Because the more we eat, the stronger we get. The same way if a child is looking for food, the more he eats, the more he gets taller and taller and grows and becomes strong. And over time, they can bear fruit, you know? And I just say for my brothers and sisters, including myself, Lord, continue to provide me food that I may never be thirsty, that I never grow hungry, and that I can rely on you and to continue to be sustained by you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
As our sister said, there's so many rich points from this training, but one particular point touched me is in Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. And this was the story of Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, and how they offered fire and put it on the incense. And this was a failure, and God rejected it. So for many, many years, I would read this verse, you know, what was their failure, and why was it called strange fire? So this came out in the training, that the fire that they offered was not the fire from the altar of the burnt offering. It was the fire that they had. It was called strange fire. It was a common fire. It was a man-made fire. And God did not instruct them to do that. This was their failure. So from this, the spiritual significance is, what does this strange fire mean? They did something for God, but it was in a natural way. This strange fire signifies man's natural enthusiasm, his natural affection, natural strength, and natural ability. So even though they were offering something to God, it was from their natural man. So in the message, the outline said, God pays attention not only to whether there is fire, but also to the source and nature of the fire. So that really touched me, that our source for serving the Lord has to be from the divine fire. It is nothing of our natural man, our natural ability, our natural strength, or our source. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 12:49, he came to cast fire on the earth. May we catch the divine fire to serve him. We don't serve out of ourselves, but we serve by the divine fire.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. These messages in Leviticus are so rich. Praise the Lord. The subject of Leviticus is that Christ is everything. Amen. Christ is everything to us. I just appreciated that God in Christ is everything and has done everything on our behalf so that we can enjoy him and that we can serve him as priests. I just really enjoyed that he's done everything and now we can just rest in him, right? He's our real Sabbath. He's done everything and now we're free in him. He's our real Jubilee. I really appreciated your testimony, Brother Doug. I appreciated your shouting, right? The Jubilee means a time of shouting. We should be beside ourselves. Listen, we've been returned to our God-ordained possession, which is God himself. We've been freed from bondage and slavery of sin, and we've been returned to our divine family, which is the church. These are all things that we should be cherishing. I just enjoy that God has done everything for us. And one more thing that I really enjoy that I never saw before in message 6 was that God has done with the matter of sin in the universe and the matter of the responsibility of sin, right? There were these two goats. There were these two goats, and they cast lots to see what portion which goat would have. So each portion was given to one of the goats. And one of the goats was given to God, right? That was a sacrifice for God, to appease God. The other goat was the lot of Azazel, which signifies Satan. And the priest put his hand on the head of the goat and confessed all the sins of Israel, every single sin, and sent him off into the wilderness on his own. So I enjoy that these two goats show us how the full responsibility of sin in the universe has been taken care of. On the one hand, Christ bore the responsibilities for our sins, right, that he could be put before God, sacrificed before God, appeasing God, and so that God, just like the cherubim, sees that blood covering us, but not just covering us, completely removing our sin. Right. But on the other hand, and I've never seen this before, is that God and Christ has the authority to transfer all sin in the universe back to Satan, that all our sin would be sent away with Satan into the lake of fire. And through these two portions, one portion for God and one portion for Satan, the matter of sin is completely taken care of in the universe, which means that we're free. We're free to enjoy the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's taken care of everything for us to become everything to us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel we had the foretaste of coming. We're going to review all the messages in this second training on the book of Leviticus. So it's really rich. I really enjoy all the sharings. That today, the Lord has really opened the book of Leviticus to us. And the purpose that he gave Leviticus to the children of Israel was to train them how to worship God, how to partake of him, and also how to have a living of holy, clean, and rejoicing life. Amen. So I'm just so thankful that today this word can be applied to us in a very practical way. I'm just so thankful that today the Lord has made all of us a kingdom of priests. You know, our brother mentioned in Exodus 19. In fact, while the brother was sharing, I was reminded the children of Israel, before they came out of Egypt, they were already priests because they were offering the Passover lamb. So today, we are the same. You know, we are the priests. Whether you know or not, in the past, I thought, you know, if I'm in a service group, I'm a priest. But in fact, there's a book, The Basic Lesson on Service. If you read that book, what is service? Service, the first thing is our need. There are 10 messages in the beginning. There are 9 messages on the table. Today, if this morning you enjoy the table, you are a priest. We are a priest here. Praise the Lord. So I'm just so thankful that today the Lord is leading us into this book of Leviticus. Amen. To enjoy him to the uttermost. Amen. You know, that in the training also mentioned that Leviticus is a book revealed the Christ in the most fine and detailed way in the whole Bible. So praise the Lord, today, this morning, we are having the foretaste, and we will get into message by message. You know, even when we stop this review of the whole message, we're going back this week on the fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in John's writing. They are preparing us, you know. There are so many feasts in the book of John, and there are so many details concerning the Christ. So I'm just so thankful that today the Lord is reading, leading us into all the riches of Christ. Amen. So that we can be constituted, and we can be serving as priests, and we can be built up as his household. So praise the Lord for such a rich sharing this morning, not only through our brothers, also through all the saints. So may the Lord gain all of us to be his living priest by eating and drinking of him. You know, I really enjoy this method of eating and drinking. At the end of the Bible revelation, to the church in Ephesus, the Lord was promised the tree of life. And to the church in Pergamos, the Lord was promised the hidden manna. And to the church, to the overcomers in Laodicea, the Lord was promising a feast. You know, this is a three stages in the Old Testament we see. In Genesis, the tree of life. In Exodus, there was the manna. Then when they enter into the good land, there was the feast. Not just a few items, but the rich produce of the good land. Amen. So praise the Lord. Let's keep eating and drinking the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll stop the meeting here. Amen.